Hare Krishna. At one retreat that I did, we had two baskets, one with questions and another with everyone's name in it individually. And we picked one question and read it, and then we picked one name, and whoever we picked had to answer the question. Now that was really fun. Now I'll tell you why it was so wonderful, actually, because the answers that were given by the devotees were so deep and appropriate that everyone's affection and respect for the for everyone else grew so much, even more rather. And another reason, it was so funny who Krishna arranged, who would come out of the basket. But this time, unfortunately, we're not going to have fun. We're just going to have Narayani Mataji and her Giriraj answer all the questions. One for you and one for him. But just to make it a little bit fun, sometimes I'm going to call on other devotees first. But oh, then it's easiest to find her. We know just where she is. Okay, please.
You should have the first question.
No. You should have the first question. Huh?
Ladies first.
See?
So he has to
go ahead. It's not you anyway, it's your Giriraj.
Well, he has to move the microphone.
Yeah, we need two microphones. Okay.
Well, he's got to move it. So, my glasses.
And also, we'd really like to thank Narayani Mataji and Giriraj for making all the arrangements here and solving all the problems.
Hare Krishna. Chanting of 64 rounds was not at all so special. I had greater expectations, and also my meditation was to gain some deeper insight or deeper experience of the holy name. At the end, it was not much more than chanting great number of rounds and seeing some long-forgotten material desires in my heart. Is this due to the fact that since I can't be any higher than an Anartanavritti stage, I cannot experience anything more than just seeing my anartas in my heart? She's answering her own question here, and she's got a second answer, or he. Or should I consider my heart to be steel-framed? So I've got a choice, A or B.
And you should break apart all these conceptions.
Should I? Okay, her first answer, is it due to the fact I can't be any higher than an Anartanavritti stage? I cannot experience anything more than just seeing my anartas in my heart. Well, if that's how you think, then that's how it's going to be. But no, it's not a fact that you cannot be higher than an Anartanavritti. Even in the beginning, we do get a taste, and that's why we chant at all. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have some taste, which is beyond an Anartanavritti. And the Anartanavritti stage, sometimes devotees have a problem that here you say, I cannot experience anything more than seeing the anartas in my heart. So sometimes devotees have a problem of negative meditation. You think about the 10 offenses. Okay, I shouldn't blaspheme. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. And you tell your mind, don't do that. So what does your mind think about? That. You forget about the don't, and you do that. You think about the thing that you're not supposed to think about. And so what we need to do is have a positive alternative to the 10 offenses. Instead of blaspheming devotees, make it a practice of glorifying the devotees, appreciating the devotees, praising the devotees. And instead of blaspheming or saying, having doubts in the scriptures, you glorify the scriptures. You worship the scriptures. Now the second one, or should I consider my heart to be steel-framed? That may be, but one sincere Hare Krishna can break the steel frame. There is a mark on Krishna's lotus feet of thunderbolt. So if you meditate on this mark on Krishna's lotus feet, then the thunderbolt will smash the mountain of sins in your heart, including the steel frame. Hare Krishna.
Can I also comment?
Oh, sure. Please. You should comment first, and then I'll answer.
Okay. I can do the same for the questions I pick.
The result of trying to clean the dirty room of the heart, well, one of the first results is that you see how dirty it is. And you try to clean and remove all the nartis, and you find that this is beyond your ability. The more I chant, as whoever said this very honestly, and I thought it was a very sincere question, we find out that we can't actually clean our heart. So that, in my understanding, is an attempt at anatta nivritti, which is sincerely done in corresponding to the second verse of Shikshastakam. Durdaivam idrisam ihan anujanu raga. Now, if we want to advance past that, what we have to do is turn to the next instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is become very humble. Trinada pisini chena, tarora pisihi sena, manina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And with that humility, we should take shelter of Krishna. So at that point when we're chanting and we become painfully aware of our anartas, we should place ourselves at the feet of the holy names and beg the holy names to help us, because in fact we are helpless. We don't have the power to fully cleanse our hearts. So we turn to Krishna and the holy names to do that. And when we consistently, always turn to Krishna and the holy names in helplessness, then we are at the platform of Namasraya, or the Nishta platform. And then we place ourselves in the hands of the holy names, and our humility increases, and then Krishna can do as he likes with us, and what he likes to do is purify our heart and show himself to us in different ways. So that would be one answer to that question in sort of a sense of process of what to do. I think this is very natural. And then is the heart steel frame, tarasmasaram. Tarasmasaram is the words of the second canto of the Bhagavatam, that Srila Prabhupada's translation of tarasmasaram is steel frame, and the literal translation is sara is essence, asma is rock. The essence of rock, the essence of hardness. So this refers to offenses. So we should carefully avoid offending and not avoid at all taking shelter of Krishna's holy names. That would be my answer. How can... Oops. How can a person, an ISKCON devotee, who sees or feels some devotee has a good heart and some devotee has a good mind but not good... Whoops, this one's a little hard to understand. Good mind but not good heart, if critical to that person? I'm not sure I understand the question. If the person... It seems like you see a person has a good heart and is sincere, but it seems like you tend to criticize that person. If the person who has asked that question cares to explain it a little further, then we'll be able to understand it. And if not, I'll answer the question as I understand it. You have some bad feeling towards a person, even though you know that they're good, they're essentially good. So one suggestion here is you could give prasadam to that person, and that way give. And that's the general answer, yes? We tried to do some service for that person. If we have... I once had the experience of sort of having a very strong argument, a strong run-in with a temple authority. And then, although we were quite close friends before that, but and even after that, we sort of went on and forgot it on one level. But inside, I was not actually and deeply a well-wisher of that devotee. And it went on like that. And then I actually left that temple, that area. And I went on with my life, and that devotee went on with his life. But inside, I kept some enmity, or Prabhupada would say envy, or bad feelings towards that devotee. And of course, that's not very pleasant, because the heart closes. I just answered another one by mistake, sorry. No. Didn't I pull out a second?
No.
Oh no, that was my first one, I'm sorry.
Same one.
Okay. Thank you. That's why Narayani Mataji, we have her sitting here to make sure that everything goes properly. So I was feeling very badly about that person. I was keeping some enmity in my heart. And then that devotee had trouble in his Krishna consciousness. And then I actually felt bad, doubly bad, because not only was he having trouble, but there was some place in my heart I was probably wishing that he was going to have trouble. And then I felt really bad. So how to cleanse the heart of wishing ill towards others? Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, properly told Dhruva that don't wish ill will for others, because you will have to suffer from that same thing. And it's so contrary to the Vaishnava heart, who is magnanimous and the well-wisher of everyone. So the ability to cleanse one's heart of these type of things, to be forgiving, is really important for a devotee. So then the question, of course, is how do you become forgiving for someone who you really are upset with? So that, and then you tried to give some prasadam, and you tried to do this, and you tried to do that, and still you have enmity in your heart. Then what do you do? Then you do the same thing that when, in every situation, when you're in a situation that is beyond your ability, and that is, take shelter of Krishna. So when we become conscious of all the things that we cannot do by our own power, and we think we're so unfortunate when we see our anartas, but how quickly misfortune can change to fortune. And on the other hand, when we get something and do something just as we want, how quickly that fortune can turn to pride and then misfortune. So to turn all unfortunate situations into the fortunate situations, we should take shelter of Krishna very sincerely. I don't want this in my heart. I don't want enmity. I don't want like it when people feel enmity to me. I don't like it when I when I feel enmity to others. So Krishna, I'm weak, I'm fallen. Please, this is not the way. I'm not a Vaishnava, I'm not a devotee. I'm especially require mercy. And if you're not merciful to me, what hope do I have? So when we approach Krishna very sincerely, his answer is usually quite quick, if he so desires.
What is the significance of holding japa retreat at Varshana only and not anywhere else? Any specific reason?
The rent is cheap.
Well, I'm not the organizer, but personally, I felt that Radharani was calling us here. Especially, she was calling me to do some service at Varshana, because she is our mother and she'll help us go to Krishna. So if we need some help in our chanting, then Radharani can help us.
Come in.
Just one little comment. Okay. We shouldn't hold japa retreats. That's okay.
Only
in Varshana. We should hold japa retreats. We should chant japa wonderfully everywhere. Huh?
We just had one in New York.
Yes. And also one in, where else? And where else?
Atlanta, Georgia. Georgia.
When the devotees gather together and chant Krishna's holy names. And see how funny the arrangements, or funny or ironic the arrangements of the Dhamma Ishwari is, that actually, my desire this year, because there were some problems with the japa retreat last year, some facilities, because some devotees are staying in one ashram over there, and this ashram has this facilities, and some devotees there. So I was thinking that this year we should have the japa retreat in Govardhan, and even forsaking the wonderful places we were chanting, but I was thinking it was too difficult to have it in Varshana. But our Sachinandana Maharaj really wanted to have it in Varshana this year. So we said, okay. And then, by Krishna's arrangements, Maharaj isn't here and we are here. So who can understand what in the world is going to happen next in this world? Let the world in every city and every town and village of the world be filled with devotees who are retreating from the material world and taking shelter of the holy names. Jagtini, Mataji, could you do me a favor and pick the next one? Last time, on Prabhupada's disappearance day, I was telling some pastime of Srila Prabhupada or something, and I said, and Jagatrini Mataji. And later some devotees criticized me for saying Jagatrini Mataji. You should say my wife Jagatrini. And then I said, but in the Vedic culture, they don't say it like that. Yes.
Can you please speak about Giriraj and how he has taken the form of a stone?
Since you're holding this.
We didn't hear.
Can you please speak about Giriraj and how he has taken the form of a stone?
How he has taken the form of a stone?
It's not exactly that he's taken the form of a stone. He's taken the form of a hill. It's Krishna has taken the form of a hill. And why he's taken the form of a hill is to render service. He's taken the form of a hill because, in the form of a hill, the cows can eat the grasses, drink the cool water. They can reside in the shade of the trees on Giriraj. The cowherd boys can play there. The gopis can find deep hidden caves where they can make a rendezvous with Krishna so that nobody will know. There are crystal clear streams and they flow over rubies and diamonds and jewels. There are gold platforms where Krishna can meet with Radha. All these extraordinary opulences. Krishna himself, in the form of Govardhan, he provides for the service and the pleasure of all the residents of Vrindavan. And so then when Krishna leaves this world, his manifest pastimes are complete. He appears in another universe somewhere else. We see Giriraj Govardhan, and through our eyes it appears that we're looking at rocks. And those rocks, of course, are also the tip of Giriraj, because Giriraj has gone down into the earth out of separation from Krishna and his pastimes. And so then some fortunate souls who have the qualification to do so, they can take one of those rocks. And so it's not that Giriraj has become the rock, he's become the hill. And then they can worship, if they have the sentiment and the qualification and desire, they can worship that rock, and in there they can see Krishna. Giriraj is also the best servant of Krishna. So, of course, we're also all part of Krishna. So we have our individuality. Giriraj has his individuality. And Krishna's very happy when he's worshipped in this way. And Giriraj is very happy to see Krishna being worshipped as well.
Isn't it also true that it's more... I thought that was a really good answer, that for the purpose of service, he takes that form, the form of the hill. So it's the same with each of us. When we desire to serve Krishna in a particular way, we have a corresponding form to serve Krishna in that way. So some... Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes, we also have just a form to serve.
But it's based on service. It's all based on service. So how would you like to serve Krishna? What happens if there are no microphones in Goloka Vrindavan? What to speak of slow internet connections? What are we going to do?
Your turn.
That was my turn. You can give your turn away if you like.
But it's your turn.
How is that? That was my turn.
What to do?
Sounds like it's my question.
When you hear someone skipping words in the Maha Mantra, mumbling or doing Krish, Krish, Ram, Ram, mini mantra. You may approach the person and ask them if they would welcome a suggestion in there to help that would really help their chanting. And if they say yes, then you can tell them which mantras are missing in their Maha Mantra. And if they say no, then you can pray for them.
There's this little one here.
How can we understand that if a person chants only one time Krishna's holy name, he is liberated? That means that he is liberated from all karma, for more karma, more sinful reactions than he could have ever committed, practically speaking. But he still has his parabdha karma. the karma that comes along with this particular body. It's like we carry with us, by our subtle body, this huge bag of reactions to sinful and pious activities. A huge bag. Say if one person has taken part in the killing of a very sacred animal that is loved by Krishna, you get more karma, or you have to suffer for as many births as hairs on the animal, on that animal's body. So that's for one act that may take up 1 hour of your life or even less. So out of countless lives that the eternal soul has passed through, countless, how much karma are we carrying with us? So we don't see it, but there's this unlimited, practically unlimited stock of karma. Like carrying with us this huge bag. And Shastra explains that just by chanting one time Krishna's name, Sarva Papa Chai, it's all gone. The bag is cut. So the question sounded like it means, how could this possibly be? One name of Krishna and no more bag of karma? And such a huge result from such a simple one act? And yes, it is amazing. In an assembly of persons, Haridas Thakur said this. He said that one chanting of Krishna's names would liberate one, even the Namabas stage. And one Brahmana of the name of Gopal Chakravarti, he didn't believe it. He said, this is an exaggeration. And saying that this is an exaggeration is actually a Nama Aparad. Harinama, kalpanam. This is kalpanam, it's just imagination. And there was some discussion, because according to the Smarta Brahmana, which he was, it's Gopal Chakravarti, that it takes so many births. First you have to raise yourself and purify your consciousness from sudra level to this level to vaishya level, and then to kshatriya level, more and more purity by following the vanashrama system. And then when you're on the level, if you follow the rules and regulations of brahminical life for 100 births, then you could take for 100 births, then you could take your birth as Lord Brahma, and then from that point you can get liberated. So how is it possible, he said, that one can become liberated by just one chanting of Krishna's name? He was a faithful follower of Varnashrama, Smarta Brahmana. And he even became so inimical with Thakur Haridas, who proved everything from Shastra, actually. He said that if it is true that you can get liberated in this simple way by chanting Krishna's name one time like that, if it's true, I will cut off my nose. And if it isn't true, your nose will be cut off. And Thakur Haridas, okay. And everyone, because Thakur Haridas was recognized as such a saint, everyone became so disturbed by this insult to Thakur Haridas. And this person immediately lost his position. Very soon he had leprosy, and his very high aristocratic nose fell off. So although we have some of us may have difficulty believing this, still we should be very careful, otherwise our nose may fall off. We should chant Hare Krishna very happily. Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan. We should chant Krishna's names very happily. Accept the verdict of Shastra. Accept the conclusions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, and be happy. Anyone would like to add anything else?
Can we have a question on this?
Yes, but after. Because problem is it's a big basket. Chaitini, you're next.
This question is for you. Hare Krishna, question to both Bodhijan Prabhu and Narayani Mataji.
It's all inclusive. You're the one who's answering it. Very good. Very mysterious is this holy basket.
At what level should you put your health before your sadhana? For example, if you have a chronic illness and it is very difficult to chant, and one is feeling ill, then should you rest or struggle on with japa? Well, I guess there's two answers that I would say here. One is the ideal answer, which is what we first have to hear, because if we don't hear the ideal, the exemplary, the highest standard, then we make our own standard, and it varies all the time. So, of course, the ideal standard Srila Prabhupada has given us, and we see in the examples of the great Vaishnavas, that they don't put anything in front of their sadhana, and they go on chanting Hare Krishna regardless of the health, because they're in realization of the nature of the body and its temporariness, and they're in realization also of the vital reality of Krishna consciousness. When you hear Srila Prabhupada speak, it's very clear that Krishna consciousness is 100% real to him. It's not a question of sadhana. It's not a question of upbringing and faith and culture. It's a question that Krishna is totally real. And so from that level of realization, he has the ability to, and we saw it so many times, to never put anything in front of Krishna, even his health. But then we may come down in scale from there, and we actually sort of have to find out where on that level, you could say the rungs of a ladder almost, where we fit into that. And if we have a chronic illness, sometimes I think it's possible that you'll find that your illness will take over on certain occasions, and you will feel unable to proceed on this higher standard. And then you will find yourself, whether you like it or not, you'll be resting or struggling with your japa. You won't really be asking yourself this. You'll just be doing it. And then at other times, you'll find that you have the strength and the clarity of Krishna conscious understanding to come to a higher level and put your japa firmly in the foreground. And my suggestion would be, if you're struggling with a health condition, a mental condition, just a newness to Krishna consciousness condition, that it's very helpful, I find for myself at least, to take kind of like a lot of shelter of Prabhupada, because he's not struggling. It's like if you're in the water and you're feeling yourself unable to swim, and you see somebody else who's firmly swimming or who's not even in the water and who's reaching out their hand, then you have to take shelter of their hand. So that would be my thought. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhus. The question is, when you are in the association of devotees and in a holy place, the japa feels so focused and effective. How to bring this same mood when you are chanting your japa alone all by yourself? Mind very often is moving from one thing to another. That is the purpose of this retreat, that you take it home with you. We have given you some tools which you can use when you are back in your home. We've given you some prayers. We've given you some exercises which you can do also in your own home. And if you forget what Burijan Prabhu or I have said, then you can take the CD and listen to it again. And you can play it and refresh your memory. And you can keep it with you until your next japa retreat. Hare Krishna.
Also, it's a frustrating thing if you... Here we are in such a rarefied atmosphere where there's nothing else we have to do, practically speaking, except chant. And then you leave and hit the real world, your real world, and you have all, up from now on I'm going to do this, and now on I'm going to do that, and then you get to the airport, and your visa is revoked or something. I mean, and so you can't take it with you in one sense, or it's difficult. So that is on one level a good reason and to come back to the Dham very regularly and have focused time for chanting and hearing, such as we're doing now, because it gives us life. It gives us life. So what to do when we are not in a holy place amongst devotees who our only thing that we have to do is chant. So one thing to do, of course, is hold these type of weekends wherever you are. And one of the best things I can do for my japa is glorify the holy names for my own japa by preaching about the holy names and sort of hosting and facilitating a japa retreat. It helps my own japa. And another positive thing about the power of the material energy is to take what Srila Jiva Goswami explains very, very seriously, is that the great opulence of Kali Yuga is anxiety. If you cannot have a lot of everything in Kali Yuga, everything you want, it doesn't make any difference, because there is an overabundance of anxiety that is always available for you, in case you haven't noticed. So that anxiety is a gift of Kali Yuga, and let it force us to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. And if it has done that, then Maya's purpose in continually beating us and whipping us has been fulfilled. So a few thoughts on that. But it would be nice if the devotees would start having like japa. It would be very easy to organize. Obviously, it's hard to get a lot of people together to take 6 days off, but a weekend in wherever you are, and even if it's just among your friends, you just say that all we're going to do during this time, we'll read a little bit to encourage us about japa, so many prayers. Oh, excuse me, my phone's going off. That always happens, doesn't it? Go away. And usually it's just in India they have junk calls all the time that come through. But in any case, a weekend, or you basically, if the devotees can get together, go somewhere for come on a Friday night and leave Sunday afternoon even, and really you have Saturday. But on that Saturday, you just make the common agreement that we're not going to sit around and talk about the weather or about each other. We'll just chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees together, around a tulsi plant, around some deities. It's probably easier than we think to get some strength and to organize such a thing with 3 or 4 people. I know two families that got together on a Nirjal Ekadasi, the last Nirjal Ekadasi, in Switzerland, actually. And the two families, there were 6 people, husband and wife, times 2, and 2 children. And they just chanted japa. I mean, not the children, obviously, the whole time. But one devotee chanted 3 lakhs of names. One devotee chanted 2 lakhs, and the other two chanted 1 lakh, 64 rounds. And this was in that holy place of Switzerland. So a little organization and some determination and inspiration can go a long way.
I think that there can be 2 ways how to concentrate on hearing japa. One internal and the other external. In the first variant, we concentrate consciousness on the heart. In the second, on the ear's external sound. It can be true. Can you please tell me something in this direction? This question I'd like to give to you, because it's a technical japa-related question, and you're hosting a japa retreat.
Okay. I think there are many ways to concentrate the mind in japa. There are some devotees, even Srila Gokakeshwar Das Babaji Maharaj has recommended looking at the syllables, the written syllables, to concentrate the name on the name. And I know devotees who do that in a physical sense, and also even mentally, they concentrate on the syllables and it focuses their mind. Is concentrating the consciousness on the heart a legitimate way? If one can hear well by concentrating the consciousness on the heart, the point is in the hearing of the holy names. This is the point. So when people ask me, should I chant loudly or slowly? Should I walk? Should I sit? Should I stand? Should I look at? Is it all right if I look? Think of pictures of my deities. Is it all right if I do this? And all right if I think of verses or whatever? I would answer this in a similar way. That the point is on the hearing of the holy name, and there's different levels of hearing as well. So although listening, just listening, seems like it's external, yet this is the greatest problem that devotees generally have, is their mind is running all over the universe as they're chanting. And this is the basic solution that Prabhupada recommended. Just listen to the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. But if someone is able to concentrate with great feeling on the holy name by putting that consciousness in one's heart, how wonderful. That would be how I would answer that question. Would you like to add anything, either? So does that mean you get another one? Go ahead.
We have the formula, the holy names, to save the conditioned souls from a very dark future in hell. If we have this medicine and we don't go out and give out the holy names, books, prasadam, etc., do we get some heavy reaction and bar ourselves from entering the spiritual world and developing Krishna prema? Well, I would have to answer this question simply according to my level of realization and not to give an authoritative, firmly authoritative, fixed reply. And my understanding is that in one sense, it's not only the holy names themselves, but it's the whole service to spreading Krishna consciousness completely together that has to be part of the package that we give. It's also, of course, true that just giving others the holy names in itself is perfect and is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants. But I know, for example, when Srila Prabhupada was present, that different people he gave different instructions to. Also, I remember that there was a tendency, perhaps it's a necessary tactic in the army, that you need the soldiers on the front line. And so therefore, to get the soldiers on the front line, you have to give them privileges and a sense of their own importance, because it's difficult. Some people like it on the front line, but many people are a little reluctant because it has its dangers and difficulties. So Srila Prabhupada always emphasized highly the preaching and the book distribution. But somehow or another, sometimes it turned into a kind of a situation whereby there would become two categories of devotees. There were the book distributors, and then there were what they would term as temple devotees. And the temple devotees, by definition, were highly inferior because they stayed home in the temple. And it came to a point where you would almost say that the temple devotees, you could more or less do without them, because the main thing and the important thing was the thrust of the preachers. I recently, when I was in Chaupati, I heard an interesting statement from one of the brahmacharis. He was saying to me that here, those who are very much in the mode of passion, we encourage them to preach. And those who are very much in the mode of goodness, we encourage them to teach, to become learned and to teach. So I sensed there was some resolve of this kind of issue of the fanaticism that was present sometimes in the minds of the devotees, the black and whiteness of those who are giving something and those who are behind. But the reality is we should give the holy names. We should give these things. It's a fact. We should be giving these things. But I don't think that if someone's doing the best that they can, that you're going to end up with a heavy reaction or bar yourself from entering the spiritual world or by developing Krishna prema if you're not on the front line. But we should be always thinking, as Srila Prabhupada does, how I can give Krishna consciousness to others, even if we're home doing our household duties, or as we were at that time, we were teachers, and Srila Prabhupada had given us an instruction to go and serve on a farm community. And then he asked one member of the group of devotees that was there, who was a strong outreach preacher, what was the order of the spiritual master. And he said the spiritual master's order was to distribute books. And Srila Prabhupada became firm and he said, "Do you think the spiritual master is a dumb stone, that he can only give one instruction to everyone?" So he showed both sides. So yes, there is validity in thinking very firmly it's important to give. There's a lot of validity and importance in that. But just not to become too black and white in your view of others who are not giving in the same way.
I would agree that there's no reaction if you don't distribute, and that it's not black and white. But I also have some authoritative statements from Chaitanya Charitamrita about the distribution of the holy names. And the one in one chapter, it describes how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a gardener, and there is a tree, and the tree has many, many branches. And Srila Prabhupada said one of the branches is ISKCON. And there are many sub-branches within ISKCON also. And each one of us is like one of those sub-branches or a twig or something on that tree of the branch of ISKCON.
Some of us are fruits, and some of us are nuts.
For the recording, Bhuri Jamprabhu said... For those of you who are getting the CD, some of us are fruits and some of us are nuts.
All fruits, raise your hand.
So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a standing order in Chaitanya Charitamrita that everyone of the branches and sub-branches should distribute, at his order, everyone in this universe should distribute the holy names, the Krishna consciousness. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself tasted, and he distributed. And he said, the more you distribute, the more your storehouse will increase. The more you distribute. And Prabhupada in one purport also said that we are all servants of the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada said, the symptom of a person who is a servant of the holy name is that he distributes the holy name to others. So that is from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
And you remember the Prabhupada in the Philippines that time? The time when we were in, just sitting with him right before the lecture?
Oh, yeah.
You can tell that one.
Sorry.
Somehow, by hook or by crook and a great deal of determination, my husband and I managed to wait outside Srila Prabhupada's room in the Hotel Intercontinental in the Philippines until people took some pity on us and invited us to come in. And so we were sitting with Srila Prabhupada for a short moment before he was taking his lunch. And he was sitting at the table. There was a table and chair. And there was some kind of souvenir type of a thing. It was something decorative, little souvenir of the Hotel Intercontinental. I think it had a flag on it. And Srila Prabhupada picked it up and he started to play with it, just sort of as if he was thoughtful. And he was playing with it. And then he said, "It is my desire that all the souls in the universe go back to Godhead. You please help me with this." So, as my husband is fond of saying, with such a vast desire of Srila Prabhupada's, maybe we can find some small part to play in helping.
Because there's always your next door neighbors and the people across the street, or if you have the capacity, distribute throughout the universe. But if one has that mood of giving, as Narayani Mataji was saying, then one gets so much more.
Okay, perhaps this is the one more, and then one more. And then
one more. This one's for you. You, Burijan Prabhu.
You, Burijan Prabhu. You said.
You mentioned that our mood is not one of wanting Krishna, but one of serving Radharani and being a servant of the servants of Srimati Radharani. However, when we chant, we pray, Ayi Nanda Tanu Jukinkaram. We pray for a relationship with him. Is that wrong? Is there a fine line that we should be aware of? Yes. I mean, yes, there's a fine line. No, it's not wrong. Because even, it's a bit of a technical question, even the devotees who serve the servants of the servants of Srimati Radharani, they are called Kamanuga. They're in the category of wanting to please Krishna directly. But they understand how to please Krishna. They understand what is most pleasing to Krishna. And therefore, they serve by trying to bring Radharani and Krishna together. There's some wonderful songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this respect about how this is his desire to bring Radha and Krishna together. And that is mysterious, how we have simultaneously a relationship of servant of the servant of the servant, but also we have a direct relationship with Krishna. It's mysterious, it's transcendental, but it's there's a mystical truth in that, because we're tiny, insignificant souls, and our capacity to enjoy and experience bliss is according to our size, so to speak. But when we serve this, if we somehow or another become the servants of Krishna in any way, then Krishna's pleasure is to increase our capacity to serve up to the level of his own capacity. That's a simple way of understanding it. He's anandamayo bhyasat. He's an ocean of ecstasy, and we are very, very tiny. But when we serve in this way, our capacity comes up to the level of those who we're serving. Our capacity for ecstasy. I'm not sure if I answered the question all right in a sufficient way, but anyone else like to comment on that? So it's a very, very mysterious topic.
Here's two questions here. Huh. Very strange. Okay, number one. Is use of earplugs during chanting okay?
I hope so, because I use them.
Okay. Oh, Burijan answered that one. Number two.
Wait a second, I want to hear what you were going to say. I had the same question. Is it okay?
Is it okay? Whatever helps your chanting is good. I mean, it's favorable. For some people, it may be unfavorable. So for those people, they don't use them. And for some people, it's favorable. Just like for some people, it's unfavorable to sit while you chant because you fall asleep. So they have to walk. But myself, if I walk, I get distracted. So I sit. So it's according to yourself, I would say, the use of earplugs. If you find it favorable, then you may use it. I know one devotee, he has this big, huge things he uses, like for the airplane runways. He uses those. So...
Okay, the last question of this session. And then, how to chant prayerfully? And the, pray while chanting. that's funny. Look, how to chant prayerfully? Pray while chanting. That's the answer to that one. What to pray for? The basic thing while we're chanting is to listen. Because there's a tendency for conversations to go on within one's own mind to oneself while one is chanting. So what should I be praying for now, Hare Krishna? What should I be praying for now, Hare Krishna? Ram, 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 ram. What should I be praying? Should I pray for this? I prayed for that yesterday, Hare Krishna. Should I pray for that? Oh yeah, I wonder what they're praying about. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is this a good prayer? Is this the best prayer? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Probably the first prayer is, my dear mind, please allow me to hear the holy names of Krishna. But just listen. And then let our prayers come naturally, be a natural result of hearing the holy names. The question was asked to Prabhupada, should we think about Krishna's pastimes as we chant? Also, Krishna's guna, his qualities and his form while we chant. And Prabhupada said, yes, we should think of Krishna's pastimes while we chant. But that stage is a natural stage. You have that. Are you going to pull out the letter, the reference? The letter is to Sivananda Prabhu in 1968. I can't remember the exact words of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, this is wonderful, but let it come naturally from chanting. We tend to desire the product. The product. But if we go through the process of chanting properly, the product will naturally come. And Prabhupada taught us a very simple but wonderful prayer, which in his translation of the Maha Mantra, not literal translation, but a general translation, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please allow me to serve you. So this meaning goes up to the highest level because everyone in Goloka Vrindavan is also just wants to serve Krishna. So the prayer for service, or another translation, simple translation Prabhupada gave, which is also a prayer, please accept me. Please accept me as your own. I'm tired of being separate from you, of feeling, experiencing myself as separate from you. Please accept me. Let me conceive of myself when I think, who am I? I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. I am your what? Servant. Service to Krishna, being a servant of Krishna is so wonderful that Advaita Charja, Nityananda Prabhu, they're all praying for this. Srimati Radharani, all the Brijbasis are just thinking themselves as Krishna's servants in different ways. So in the simplest way, we should pray to have the mentality of service and let that coat our chanting, not interfere or compete with hearing the holy name. When we're praying to the holy name, that should be in a deep experience of hearing, not as an alternative to hearing, not competing with hearing the holy name. So let the process of focusing, bathing our consciousness in the holy name be the essential experience, and let all the other wonderful products that come from chanting Krishna's name, let them be resultant of the foundational principles. That's how I would answer that. But yes, please say.
First on the letter, I do remember the exact words, yes, of part of it. And then when he asked if we should think of the Leela while chanting, Srila Prabhupada said, that is required. Yes. That's the part I remember.
Yes. But there is more.
And then there's more, which you already said. Yes. And then the last thing I would like to say is I would again like to recall Sachinandan Swami's mantra, which he says before chanting japa, which he gave in his class in Vrindavan before he left for Bombay. And how I remember it is like this. And he said this would help him very much in his chanting. So this is like a prayer we can say. And he got it from your book, Unveiling the Lotus Feet, from some lecture.
I happen to have two copies of that here, by
okay.
The only two copies in Vrindavan.
All right. Yeah, so it's from this book, which he got this quote, and he says it before he chants, and he found it very helpful. And it goes something like this. I am hopeless, and I am helpless. But I belong to you, Srila Prabhupada. Please recommend me to Krishna.
Okay, almost the end.
Now you have so many questions.
Now I have some questions for you. Now we'll be using these in the next section of our ceremony. I don't want a final closing ceremony. Please, this one, what you wish to take with you from the japa retreat is very important, because this is the basis of our sankalpa ceremony at the end. In one word, second one, sum up your experience at the retreat. Third one, write down or think of or be ready to say the most striking thing that happened to you at the retreat. Fourth one, your greatest realization in one sentence, your deepest realization in one sentence. And if you want to write a poem, or be selfish. And after being here in this holy place in the kingdom of Srimati Radharani, what is your greatest hope? So you can write them down, and you don't have to answer them right now. In fact, I don't recommend you answer them right now. But if you could have worked on these, and then when we meet again, theoretically it's in a half hour, but that doesn't seem so practical at 9:30. So there they are, and I'll leave them over here for you to keep working on. Devotees have, I've asked devotees in retreats to write a poem, and some devotees have natural tendencies to do that, and there's been some really, really wonderful poetry written. I mean, funny and enlivening and also deep. So try your best. Become kavis.